All right, we are recording, Sonia?
Yes, we are.
Okay, and just for the public and for those who are on the phone, just that we are, our meeting is back on due to a county fire drill at a building. So it is now 3 o'clock. And we'll let everybody get clicked back on here, Sonia, before we start, our discussion. Second. Appreciate everybody's patience. There's Daniel. Okay, Sonia, do we have everybody back on there?
Yes, we do.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so where we were, discussing a few adjustments to the current plan. Was there any other questions? I'm sorry, I was walking in between those two. Any further clarification on the paragraph or page? I believe I showed us page 5. Page 6.
Chief, I think that while you were trying to figure out what was going on, Daniel took notes about the suggestion from the committee as far as the placement of the paragraphs.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, if you'd like to try to approve this today, do you want me to just summarize the changes once more and then...
Yeah. And I will tell you the importance to the committee is approving this is next week we do have the JJCC, which has to approve this. It's all on some timetables. So if I could have Daniel restate those for everybody, then we'll be looking for a motion in a second, please. So Daniel, please.
So on page 4, we're correcting Don Smith's title and Heather Benjamin's spelling of her name. On page 5, is where we're making the adjustments to move the paragraph reference to the original snapshot from June to the bottom of page 5, and then we're putting the new table from October with the statement about that references that new population of 90 youth. We'll also add a footnote to the table to specifically describe and differentiate those two data pools. On page 8 is where we are changing the reference to Secure Track Youth Program to Secure Track Youth. And then on page 14, we're just correcting a paragraph indentation. Those are the changes that I have.
Okay, Daniel.
I apologize. We got cut off before I could make one more comment regarding the target population. Actually, on page 7, the additional target population information, just to be consistent with the demographic, the sample on page 7 is from the 6 youth committed to DJJ. We're thinking maybe this sample should be from the 51 that are from June versus just the 6. To be more consistent between the two sections on the demographics, the chromogenic demographics.
So those are intentionally looking at the youth that actually went to DJJ versus those who are in the larger population. There are two very separate populations, in my understanding. And those questions related to the kind of deeper dive into their cases also relate to things they've done at DJJ. So I think those are very different populations that we're talking about.
So we're making the distinction there.
Yeah, those are the 6 that were committed to DJJ versus the 51, which are kind of a theoretical target population.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
Okay.
Sorry, okay, I have one more. I'm sorry,
Chief. Go ahead, Don.
One more question. We're changing on page 8. Daniel, when you're talking about changing it to the Secure Track Youth, you're talking about doing that in the bottom paragraph where it currently says Secure Youth Treatment Facility, correct?
No, it's the first paragraph where it says youth committed to the Good Track Youth Program. That sentence is going to be changed to youth committed as Secure Track youth, since there is not a program per se. They're either committed to Secure Track,
right,
and a Secure Track youth, or they're in the track plan.
Okay, so further down in the document where it talks about the Secure Youth Treatment Facility, that's all going to remain as SYTF throughout the paragraphs? Or are we talking about Secure Track youth there?
They're both correct. SYTF, all three of our facilities have been approved as secure youth treatment facilities. So yes, if they are committed to the SYTF, that makes sense. If we're talking about are they committed as secure track youth, then
that was the part that was unclear to me. If we're only talking about them if they're committed, or if we're talking about the larger population in these subsequent paragraphs where we talk about SYTF.
Why don't we just change back the paragraph, that first paragraph on page 8, to youth committed to the Secure Track Youth Facility. And then, because the facility, you know, we know the facility is going to follow the youth, basically.
Drop the program and put in facility.
Right, and then that way the document can be consistent across the board, and because I get Don's point, we use SYTF because we had a vision that there was going to be an SYTF, which there is going to be. It's just going to be in each facility. There's going to be kind of a designated SYTF program. So why don't we just, because for ease of use, I think we just put youth committed in that first full paragraph, last sentence, youth committed to the Secure Track Youth Facility.
Yep, and drop the program.
Yeah. And then, it's consistent through the whole document.
Okay.
That changed to page 8. Facility instead of building.
Okay. Any other further clarifications from the committee? Or as Daniel has read? Okay. So with item number 5, discussion approval of the updated draft, and now we've made a couple more clarifications. I would be looking for a motion in a second to approve the subcommittee plan.
I can move.
Okay, thank you, Judge. Can we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, who is that? Lynn, thank you, Lynn. Sorry, I'm writing and looking. So we have a first and a second. We'll need to do a roll call vote. Can we do the public comments first?
Mr. Sentman, comments first before the vote?
Gotcha. You got it. Okay, at this time, Sonia, can you give me public comments, please?
Yes. If there is any member of the general public that would like to speak on item number 5, please press star 9 or hit the raise hand icon on your screen. No, there's none.
Okay, thank you so much, Sonia. Appreciate that. So for item number 5, we've got a motion from Judge Motowiecki. We have a second from Lynn Garrett. This time we'll need to do a roll call vote. As the chair, Steve Sentman, I vote aye. On behalf of Kim Doyle, Heidi Garrell.
Aye.
Thank you. Laura Jose.
Aye.
Thank you. Judge Motowiecki.
Aye.
Thank you. Raymond Sanchez.
Aye.
Thank you. Don Smith.
Aye.
Thank you. Heather Benjamin.
Aye.
Thank you. Lynn Garrett.
Aye.
Thank you. Steve Kim.
Aye.
Thank you. Nazlie Restrepo.
Aye.
And thank you. Ken Santini.
Aye.
All right. The ayes have it, as they say. Now we'll move down to item number 6. Item number 6 is to review and discuss the probation's recommended budget allocation methodology for SB 823 subcommittee plan. And I'll turn this back over to Assistant Chief Prado, please.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members of the SB 23 subcommittee. So before you, for item number 6, as the Chair had mentioned, the Probation Department during next week's Orange County Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council, and then subsequently following the OCJJCC meeting, the methodology that probation would suggest that the SB 23 subcommittee consider is that the subcommittee knows that there's going to be three tranches of funds that are going to be coming to the County of Orange for the purposes of supporting the plan that the subcommittee, at least at this point, has endorsed to be reviewed and finalized by the larger parent group next week at NJCC. So what probation is envisioning is that because the plan does require and need to utilize funds for the support of all in-custody care, maintenance, in-service services, whether that is reentry services, mental health, transitional services, what have you, that the services come in a, for lack of a better term, we'll call it a percentage package. And so what the subcommittee is provided this afternoon is the per cost bed day rate for, and this is actual bed day rates for the probation department's facilities, all three, Juvenile Hall, Youth Guidance Center, and Youth Leadership Academy, for one particular year. And just so I won't get into the weeds of how the daily rate is established, but in essence, it is all of probation's direct and indirect expenditures equally distributed or divided by the average daily population of the youth that are in custody. So for the bed day rate that you'll see highlighted in yellow, where it indicates average daily bed cost on that first sheet, that is the average rate of that's the average cost per youth for a stay in all three facilities. If you go over to the right, where it's highlighted in blue, the number at the top, that 1,488, that's the average daily bed cost rate just for youth housed at Juvenile Hall. So this is just so that the subcommittee is aware of what the costs are as they are associated with, now this is existing services and custodial costs. So this includes all current contracted services that probation has to support youth in custody. If you are to go to the second sheet, what probation did is in its analysis, what we did was, because our secure track quote-unquote facility is actually all three of our facilities combined into one, we said if SecureTrack was fully operational today and we had youth that met kind of our historical timeline, so typically, and we've talked about this in past meetings, because Orange County hasn't had to rely on the Department of Juvenile Justice highly in the past, we would average anywhere between 4 to 6 youth. So if we had SecureTrack fully operational, staffing, training, the whole thing, and our existing number of youth that were identified as SecureTrack equaled 4 youth, we could estimate that if those youth stayed in custody, those 4, and they were in all three facilities at one point during their commitment, we would estimate their cost just in custody to be $2 million, and that's just 4. So what we're proposing and what we're going to be suggesting to the larger parent group next week is that, well, for this fiscal year, everyone knows that $2.2 million came into Orange County for this fiscal year, meaning fiscal year 21-22. The proposal is to utilize all of that SBA 23 funding to offset the cost of probation's current actual expenses for this fiscal year, and then use that number as a baseline moving forward, or use, and this is where some discussion from the group is needed, because probation would recommend that in the out years, probation would at least be able to use 2.2, 2.5 to offset some of its in-custody services, while the delta, or the remaining amount of money, could then be leveraged and utilized for those in-reach services, transitional services, reentry services, or as Judge Morike is hoping for, and we would support, out-of-custody options, housing specific to this youth population. And what we would do then is, so to highlight this year, all of the money would offset probation's costs. So 2.2 for this year for 21-22. Next year at 22-23, as we're budgeting, the county is anticipating somewhere between 6.2 to 6.4. Probation's recommendation would be at least $2 million of that, or some percentage commensurate to the increase or decrease in the SYTF population, would roll directly from probation for care and maintenance costs, and that the delta, in this case about $4 million, would be utilized for either in-custody or out-of-custody mental health, reentry, transition services, housing, education, what have you. And then in the third year, where the county is expecting an amount in upwards of $11 million, again, same thing, about $2 million or whatever commensurate percentage it would be to provide support to our SYTF population in custody, that would roll to probation, and then the remaining. So we're estimating anywhere between $7 to $9 million would then be utilized for those other transitional reentry housing types of programs. So what the group will see now that we do have a plan endorsed by the SBA 23 committee with the corrections made, that plan will be posted. Probation will work with the board, and that plan with its narrative correction will be posted as early as tomorrow for the public to see, as well as a proposed budget, which would include the methodology that I've just explained. So if there would be any changes or questions about that methodology moving forward, these questions would be addressed with the larger group, in this case, the JJCC. So playing out, especially the out years, let's say probation didn't need its tranche of in-custody care and maintenance monies. Just like in the past, what would happen is the JJCC would then give authority to have monies redistributed to other areas that would encompass the plan. So let's say, so next year, 22-23, we have zero youth in custody that are secure track. So what would happen is, obviously, we would have excess monies that we could then leverage and put to other areas. But probation would not make that decision. We would wait until the quarterly meeting, or one of the quarterly meetings of the JJCC, and ask permission to move dollars. That's how we would do it. And so we just wanted to, and because many of you are members of the parent group, the JJCC, we just wanted to alert not only you, because you are the members, but also members of the public, what probation is thinking about in terms of allocating the available funds. And at this time, I am available to turn over every and any question to Don Smith. No, I'm just kidding. Any questions you all have, go ahead. Have at it.
I don't have that many questions, but I do have one question, which is that we're not contracted. We deliver services, and we don't have a mechanism for reimbursement for those services, really, outside of a cost to fly or something along those lines. So when we're looking at the cost, that's the care and supervision within the facility, but it doesn't take into account costs for things that are not
contracted that are being borne by other organizations or agencies in the county. So I didn't know, you know, out of that $4 million, then it sounds like, so $2 million goes to probation, and then that $4 million would go in. Somehow there would be a cost apply on the back end then for Secure Track Youth. Is that what you were envisioning for programs that are for like a county program that's not contracted?
Yes. Because what we would do is, obviously, because of a great deal of this group's deliberations, we did want to ensure that there was more than adequate monies to focus on reentry efforts, educational efforts, mental health efforts, and certainly it was not probation's intention to take up all of the incoming money. Although, let me tell you, we could just sweep up all of the money and we would point back to Judge Motuike and say she said it was okay. But we wholeheartedly agree with the rest of the group that we have a true opportunity here to really be very mindful of this investment, where we do not want to support our in-custody services. We would much rather focus and free up dollars for reentry, transitional services, including any educational support that would help our youth transition from secure facility support and back into the community. So that's how it's going to work. Judge Motuike, you look like something happened. What happened?
We also have Laura Jose too, Brian, but Judge, did you have something?
No, I'll wait for Laura.
Okay, go ahead, Laura. I see your hand there.
She had her hand up first.
She's going to make me take the hit and ask the question I'm going to guess that she's thinking, but I don't. Can I ask a very stupid question, perhaps? So
It's not going to be stupid. Go ahead.
With all humility, but when you say offset, what are we offsetting? Presumably, these services have already been paid for out of probation's existing budget. So unless you're telling me, which could totally be true, that you're way in the hole and the CEO's office is not. I mean, I don't, forgive my lack of financial acuity, but what do we mean by offset?
No, by no means is that a stupid question or an inappropriate question. That is a very fair question. Because the plan that we're proposing envisions not only reentry and transitional services, but also all of the in-custody support. I mean, the argument is that probation has more than enough expenses to sweep up all of the eligible dollars, which, by the way, it's not interested in doing. What we were trying to highlight was a methodology that kind of made sense. We want to have the opportunity to at least leverage some of these SBA 23 funds to offset the cost for not all of our eligible youth, but for a population of youth that meets our historical values, if that makes sense. We're not anticipating that we're going to be seeing a lot. However, we do realize that depending on how well our program, especially our SYTF program, goes, there may be a commensurate increase in the amount of youth that will actually be participating in the program. And what we've already said, I think we all agree, that the youth that will eventually make it, and I'm not talking about the eligible youth, I'm talking about the youth that will eventually be committed to SYTF, that group of youth are going to require an additional level of support. And it's that additional level of support that we want, that probation wants to ensure there is money set aside. Because what we don't want to have happen is we do not want to over leverage the money, because we have definitive amounts. We've got $2 million, we've got 6.2, 6.4 in year two, and then 11 million in year three. If we get to the point where we cannot offset some of the costs for care and maintenance of that higher level group, probation will have to decrease its services elsewhere. And we don't want to do that if we can avoid it. Hopefully that makes sense.
I understood maybe 10% of that, but it's probably not your fault.
You know what, Laura, if I can help with this. So our eligible Kent County cost probation budget takes the secure track unit that would be identified in that program. There's a care and custody cost there, along with the additional services we're either have or look to enhance or fill in the gap for needed. So we're taking a number, a projected number, and I believe that's the 4 Brian was talking about. Those would be youth that are secure track potentially. And then the rest of those funds would be for the services above and beyond the enhanced services that we've identified in the plan, would be for those enhanced services forward. And the big piece that we're more likely missing is the reentry transitional piece out into the community that needs to be built upon. So making sure that there's some funds put there. And we've worked this out with the CEO's office to understand there's some cost to the county that will continue to come. That's what we do today. But we're looking forward the day of this plan forward, the first secure track youth and forward, what those costs would be. If that helps. And I'm not a budget person either, so I appreciate your question, by the way.
The look on my face is not of disapproval, it's of confusion, so I'm just going to mull over what was said and hopefully process it. But
okay,
someone else has a question.
All right, I'm going to go to the judge. I think she did have a question. I think Brian and I were reading a potential question on her face.
No, I have many questions, but I think I'm going to have to just kind of do what Laura says. I think I need to think about this a little bit more because I'm not a budget person, and I'm not a money person, I'm not financial, but I'm having the same issues that kind of Laura is speaking to because I'm not tracking this that well. So I understand, Chief, that there's going to be costs for the enhancements, right? And there's going to be costs, obviously, for an enhanced level of security for our SYTF youth who may be committed to that kind of track. But I'm trying to, I guess I heard initially that there was like this offset, which is what triggered me in thinking, wait a minute, you want the $2 million to go to probation first to cover this year's costs? I didn't follow that part. Is that what you were asking or saying?
I'm going back to Brian.
That's exactly what we are saying.
Okay, because that's almost the entire budget for the fiscal year for this year. And that confused me because that to me seems like it's already a cost that's occurred or been incurred. And we don't have anyone in SYTF right now. So, you know, that should be a county cost that the county is giving probation to house and provide services to our youth, our existing youth. So that I didn't follow.
No, and yes, Your Honor, and it's a fair question. And the fact of the matter is, not only have we talked about what it's going to take, and again, not saying that we're not saying that we are not going to bear the costs for care and maintenance of all eligible youth. We are. The fact of the matter is we have no say in who gets put into custody. And so consequently, this probation is just trying to anticipate the amount of dollars that we'll need to be able to free up to provide the additional, not only the in-custody support that's provided by probation, but alluding to comments that Dawn had made earlier, we realize, we understand, that if we are going to bear the responsibility of trying to solicit for or determine some of these additional services above and beyond what already is in existence. And so we're trying to forecast what we know eventually is going to happen later, where we're going to be asked to be responsible for providing, as Dawn had mentioned, any additional mental health services or in-reach services that are not, by the way, offset today. So to Dawn's point, there are mental health professionals, sorry, there are behavioral health professionals, thanks Dawn, that provide both mental health and substance use disorder as currently services. We're already now, through a plan, identifying the need to enhance those services. And what I do not want to be able to, what I don't want to do is now free up or after the fact have to go back and try to pull money away from contracts that we do for sure need to set in terms of reentry, education, and housing. Some of the things that we had already identified in the plan and forget about the needs of the youth that are in custody. If we simply just did math and we said, what would be a number, a fair number, that we would at least want to set aside money for, so we don't have to go out and get permission from the larger body to utilize, would a population of 4 make sense? Sure, because if we don't use the money, at least the JJCC would give probation permission to then move the money to other areas. That's what we want to be able to have at our disposal. And there would be an ongoing mechanism, because all of you would hold me accountable to say, hey, Brian, we don't have anybody. What are we doing with next year? What are we doing with the unused dollars? And at that point, I would approach the JJCC and say, here's the delta. What would you want it to be used for? Rather than probation just making the decision. I hope that made sense.
So basically, Brian, and I was going to ask this question because it, the meetings that I've been in, that I was in early on with my organization about this issue, was basically just talking about the realignment of funds. So basically what they've decided is that the state's going to send a certain amount of money to us to handle this population. I'm not sure how it was handled before. I'm guessing that it was taken out of a state pot at the top, but now it's being sent down to us, and then we have to decide what to do with it. And one of the concerns that had been voiced in the meetings that I was in was, you need to make sure that what the state is going to be realigning is sufficient to take care of all of the needs, because it might not be. And so I was very concerned about accurately trying to estimate what the cost for our services would be, so that we wouldn't end up in a situation where our county was shortchanged somehow or wasn't going to get an adequate amount of funding. But based on the very small number that we have, I think we're in a different circumstance maybe than some other counties where they have much larger numbers, because these amounts seem ample for such a small size. But I think where I'm also, and maybe I'm getting confused, or others may also have this question, there's that 4 people or 6 people that are at the state, but there's this larger identified population that's the target. So the funds that are being realigned are really only intended then, if I understood you correctly, Brian, they're really only intended for that 4 or 6 youth, but we have the opportunity to use it across the broad target population. Yes.
That is a great characterization of the challenge that we have here in Orange County, because of our already existing collaboration. We're already ahead of the game when it comes to, I hate to say this publicly, but all of the kids that were heading back all landed in Orange County. We would still be okay because we have the facility space to manage them, and we have the existing partnerships our challenge is now how to, knowing that there's costs, there's in-custody costs, there's treatment costs, and there's reentry and housing costs once they go. So how do we come up with an allocation that, or a methodology that makes sense? And so what probation was attempting to do was trying to use historicals to say, if we really stay in this place around 4 or 6, we can estimate without any hesitation, because these kids are going to be in custody on average anywhere between 2 to 2.5 years, we know that just for one kid to stay in custody with our current service delivery model, that's about $1,300. If we ramp it up, if we add one more staff member inside the facility to provide that security or support, that just increases that daily rate. Now, that daily rate will be impacted when we now start talking about contracting out for probation partnering with HCA to contract out more enhanced mental health services, or probation taking the lead in soliciting for in-reach services that would assist, whether that's via Kent and SSA or one of our collaborative partnerships via Project Kinship or Naslin's group or Heather Benjamin's group or whatever community provider is out there that can meet the scope of what probation is requiring. So we already know that, and we already know right now those partnerships don't exist. We can only, what probation can give you is what exists today with just 4. So we know that that cost is going to go up. It's just we want to set the money aside so that we have it ready and available to utilize and not be kind of behind the eight ball, as it were. But at the same time, we understand the sensitivity of wanting to ensure that there's money for those other much needed areas that we've identified in the plan: reentry, transition, extra education, and housing. So that's where we are. And again, it's just a methodology. This is, unless we get further guidance or direction from the Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council, again, for many of the members here are a part of, I know I'm going to hear it from that larger group as well.
Is this, so, Brian, is the state going to allow reimbursement costs?
Oh, sure. Because the plan as it is, it includes any costs that the county is going to incur that have anything to do with in-custody services, staffing. I mean, infrastructure is a different animal. There was a different grant. Fortunately, we're blessed with, we have to do some infrastructure improvements that we're doing through OC Cares. That's one option. But nonetheless, we still have staffing issues that we can offset, and clearly all of the other services that we said that we want to target in our plan, those are the things that we are going to leverage the additional dollars to.
But it sounds like for this year that you're replacing existing county budget money that was already spent with state money.
Yeah, you're correct. All of the money that we, additional staffing that we've identified to provide support to the eligible population, that's what we want to leverage these state dollars to offset. Because until basically this year, we didn't have those staff, or that was not part of our normal NCC plan. Okay. The other way I described it was, prior to the passage of SB 8.3, it was DJJ. So yes, to your point, it was still the county's responsibility to house, care, and manage all of the youth that remain in custody in Orange County. Any of those youth that then got sent to DJJ, guess what? The County of Orange had to pay for those bodies at a particular rate. But Orange County still had to pay for its existing level of service, including its staffing. So now you reverse engineer that. If DJJ now comes to Orange County, well, the new DJJ comes down to Orange County, there's additional staffing costs, there's additional service costs. So now, why would the county agree to now offset those costs? Let's use the dollars that they were intended to utilize to support our efforts here, all of our efforts here. Now, again, let me emphasize, probation understands that over time, even if the and if our success is great and the numbers of eligible, not even eligible, but SYTF numbers increase to the tune of what Daniel had mentioned earlier, if we get to the point where we got 90 kids in SYTF, although I don't see 90, but if we did, probation understands that there's not going to be enough state funding to offset all of the costs, including the custodial and treatment costs for that population. But at the same time, we want to, at least as a group, be prepared to have that conversation and say, you know, hey, in the future, yeah, we want to, we've got 100% of a pot. There's only so much of a pie. We understand there's in-custody costs that are going to be incurred, reentry costs, supervision costs, and support services. Let's set aside a small percentage for in-custody support services. The larger percentage, 80%, then would be for certain areas, education, reentry, housing, whatever. But there has to be a recognition that there are some in-custody costs that probation is going to have to incur that should not be on the back of what probation also has to fund on its net county costs. I know I'm getting in the weeds a little bit, but
this
that's kind of the challenge.
Sorry, Brian. This may be a county issue, but I'm just going to raise it. Because the funding under SB 823 is for programs and services. So it doesn't say for housing. And it doesn't specifically, it's not infrastructure, right? So to me, it's almost like the state is putting the county, understands the county still has to provide the support, meaning the housing. These additional dollars, which are coming in at $2 million this fiscal year, are for programs and services, not for housing costs. I'm not seeing it that way. The bill was written and the funding, I believe, is just linked to programs and services, and they were specific about that. So, you know, to me, I don't know if this is the appropriate place, but I'm just saying that the cost of caring and housing for the youth, I don't think that that is what those dollars are tagged for. So I'm still, you know, and I apologize for the disconnect, but I'm just trying to grasp all this right now. And that's why we were looking specifically at programs and services on how we enhance those, how do we use those for this target population, because that's what the dollars were earmarked for. They're not for, you know, again, I don't mind to reiterate myself, but they're not for, you know, the housing and custody of these youth.
And again, I'll harken back to what Laura had mentioned earlier, where my explanation sounded like it was focused more on the security side of the house. I'm being much more broad about, and that's why I wanted to show the illustration. A portion of those costs are not just to offset salaries and employee benefits of probation's employees solely. There are portions of that daily cost that offset the cost of any contracted services. And so to that point, you know, we're going to anticipate that we're going to need funds available to do the very things that you are talking about, Your Honor, where probation is going to need to take the lead and solicit for services, obviously with the help of HCA, Dawn, and First Shop, or Canada Shop when it comes to benefits or the like. But we're going to have to take the lead in having those solicitations. And without the opportunity or the availability to have those funds available to even talk about what those services might cost or look like. We don't want to have to come back next fiscal year and ask a larger group, in this case the JJCC, to say, hey, we have an in-custody need for whatever, call whatever the reentry service scope is, but we don't have the money to do it because we couched it someplace else. We want to be upfront to say, hey, we want to have monies already in the hopper that we can leverage to offset any of those costs that are tied to the care and custody of kids that are inside any of probation's facilities.
So, Judge, if I can add to your point. So in 1990, it talks about the block grant monies are to be providing county the funds for custody, care, supervision, and abuse that are realigned. Then you go into 1991A, and it talks about 2021-22 funds. The allocation should provide appropriate rehabilitative housing and supervision services. And then forward. So in one part, they're talking about generally the grants, custody, care, and supervision of youth. Secondarily, they're talking about rehabilitative housing and supervision services. So you can almost interpret rehabilitation services, could be in custody. It's just, I think they left it generic enough to know, and I think what we're trying to do across is this first year, we're already through most of 21, but the accessibility to these funds by being in probation allows us the ability to identify those additional services or services we need to fund with that money that provides that ability forward with a number of you. I'm not a budget person either. We could definitely get somebody, it probably would make sense to have somebody come from CEO Budget to our JJCC, but again, we want to put this budget forward so that we, it wouldn't be a surprise because most, a good part of you are on that group, and we go from there. The JJCC group that I chair can say differently. Now, all this money goes here or may have a different, to Brian's point, may have a different methodology. I think it's right.
I'm not trying to deny, I think everybody has a role, and I know probation has a big role initially with these, with our youth, this target population. So I think it might be helpful for this group who also sits on the OCJJCC is to see, an accounting to figure out, what the ask is. I just, right now, it's kind of just we're talking globally, but I think it would be helpful for everybody to kind of see what the breakdown is, because I know that Brian's alluded to, the cost on this page, item six, page two, is really $2 million, but that's inclusive of everything, the services as well as the care and support. So, to break it down a little bit so that we know, this is the kind of the percentage of the daily bed amount, that the cost amount that is actually attributable to services as opposed to just the care and custody. That would be helpful for this, at least for me to know, because right now we're just talking about these big global figures and it's hard for me to grasp, and I'm not trying to say, no probation, you shouldn't get this or whatever. I'm just trying to understand where the money is going to be allotted and how it's going to be spent, because I think we're all kind of in this because we want it spent wisely, and I know that we're all, that's our goal. And I apologize, it's just confusing to me because we're talking about kind of like these general numbers and I'm not.
And that's sometimes the pressure that comes over to the agency, probation, having the primary responsibility and our CEO budget, trying to get to a particular one we're really projecting. So again, the intention of this was to bring this forward to the group. This is the first time we've seen it at the JJCC, and then I will work with Brian to get somebody from CEO Budget to help explain this in better of a budget term. That would be my only thing I would be able to offer at this point, because it's not the best way I can explain it. And I see Steve, I see your hand. I just want to make sure I answered the judge's question. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, good. Thanks, Chief. Thanks so much for showing these numbers, Ryan. I'm new, so I'm digesting all this, and I certainly know there's costs And I was thinking about college tuition, which I will not complain about anymore because no idea that it costs this much to incarcerate poor youth. And my question is, I think the judge was alluding to it. I'm just curious on the daily rate and the fiscal year cost. Is that inclusive of intervention services and treatment as well? And my question is that if it is, and that's good, but I was wondering if it's not in the 2.2, if I'm hearing correctly, I apologize. I'm trying to pay attention, so hopefully I heard it right. I apologize if I didn't. The $2.2 million to offset the potential $2 million cost, if it doesn't include intervention or treatment services, I'm wondering if there's space to even include that for year one, even if it's minimal, so that we could begin even year one some of the services that were in what was created.
Sure, of course, that's it, and that is a great question. So the services, as you can imagine, and Talon will support me on this, there are no enhanced services provided to any of the youth currently inside, other than what exists today. And that's a weird way to say it, but the department does have certain contracts in existence today for things like educational services for certain youth. Not all of you. There are already in existence services contracts that are applied to certain facilities, not to all of the facilities. So there are already in existence reentry types of programs that are attached to some of our substance use disorder youth, but not available to you if you're not at, for example, if you're not at the Youth Guidance Center. Any of those services that are already contracted for that particular facility, if you're in the hall, you're not going to be able to participate in any of those, right? So is there room for inclusion? That's why probation is going with this methodology. We're trying to illustrate and be transparent. This is the cost today without any additional or enhancements. So we want to, at the very least, have access to be able to leverage these actual dollars to say that, okay, say we say the group hints that, okay, Brian's explanation kind of makes sense, but we would like to see later, what is he talking about? Is he really trying to scoop up all of this just to offset the cost of custodial staff when there's so many kids that are in that target population? There's no way he's going to be able to offset all of those costs. Nope. It looks like all he's trying to do is free up dollars for a lot of those in custody, enhanced level of mental health services, reentry services, transitional services, whatever they be. But he's just trying to illustrate what the actual just in custody costs are to the group. So there is some appreciation or understanding of the kinds of dollars that we're talking about. I hope that makes sense. Yeah.
My intention again for Judge Don Brian is to have CEO Budget come with us today for the group here. It's just to review and discuss, and knowing that this would come forward next week on the 28th. And I'm trying to write down specifically to understand what these services are. If we can get a breakdown, Judge, I think to your point, you know, what are those costs, or what are those services? Instead of just saying services, what are those services above and beyond the custody? To your point, I understood. Again, Brian, I appreciate you leading that conversation so I can write down here where people are headed to get the most best information forward. I think that's what's important. Okay, was there other committee? I'm trying to watch the squares here. Other committee members? Questions about the budget? And again, a good part of you will be on the meeting next Thursday, or at the meeting next Thursday, as we move forward with that. So I just want to make sure. And then I need to know, Sonia, do I need to get public comments on number 6 also?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me make sure the committee is good, and then we'll go to public comments.
Okay.
I just want to say I appreciate the feedback. I do sit on the JJC, and I'm glad I get the preview of this, but I think I probably echo the same concerns that I'm hearing regarding the budget. I would want that information, so I thank you for bringing that up and having this lengthy discussion. So thank you.
No, that's great, and appreciate the feedback from everyone. Ashley, Your Honor, Laura, of course, as usual. I do want to highlight for everyone, Judge Moody did bring the point to bear that this is a county issue, and probation, in addition to participating in kind of the larger conversation about the formulation of the plan, it is going to have to go to the board for overall review as well. So even at the board level, if the board has any questions about the methodology that probation is even recommending as a partner group to this group, there are things that we will need to address. It is what it is. Our actual in-custody costs are what our in-custody costs are. But we think it is reasonable to be able to say, while we would love to sweep up all of the dollars to offset all of our costs, we know the focus is truly to help youth to get on their feet and out, because that's where they're going to succeed, not with us. And we would rather invest in those types of services than have conversations about trying to make probation's budget full. So that's all I've got, Chief.
Thank you, Brian. Sonia, can you go to public comments, please?
Yes. If there is any member of the general public that would like to speak on item 6, please press star 9 or press the hand raise icon button on your desktop. No, there isn't.
Okay, thank you. And then we will go to public and subcommittee comments. So back one more time, Sonia, to see if there are any further comments, please.
If there is any member of the public that would like to speak under general public comments, please press star 9 or press the hand raise button on your desktop. No, there isn't.
Okay. And then for the subcommittee, I just want to just make a couple comments as a chair, but first I want to open the floor to the subcommittee first, and then I'll give you kind of the next steps where we're at, and then we'll be wrapped up. And I again apologize for the fire drill here at the child support building, but we're able to get back on this. So are there any other further subcommittee comments?
I just want to take a moment to thank you guys to uploading the recording on Zoom. I noticed it was in the minutes, and I really do appreciate that. Was a request that I had last time, and I appreciate that it was up and visible to the public, so thank you.
Any other comments from the committee? All right, well, let me say as the chair just a couple of things. I believe the overall desire, and I can assure you as the chair and the probation chief as the chair, is whether it's 1 year, whatever the number of youth we have, is to provide the appropriate level of services, and to Brian's comment, is to make them the best candidate to be successful in the community, how important that is. I look over our plan, I think, and I've seen other statewide plans are not near as focused as we are, I believe, for youth. These will be ongoing discussions as we move forward, and I look forward to seeing everybody at the JJCC next week that are there. From there, we go to providing that the JJCC has an agreement with the plan, then it goes up to the board. And then we will move forward from there, continuing to focus in on those enhanced services. I've heard that numerous times today and how important that is. Identify what we have, more importantly, building upon the enhanced services. So with that, our next meeting is scheduled for November the 4th. We'll leave that at that at this point. And I thank everybody for your patience today. That's first for me to have to get up and leave virtually in the middle of a fire drill. So I apologize for that. Thank you, Sonia, for stepping in today. You did a wonderful job. I appreciate it, okay?
Thank you.
And we'll see everybody soon. Thank you.
Thank you.